This morning is the first morning that we have cancelled our church service. And as I look out where once I could see over 100 people plus, I now see a handful who are here with me to record this message and a very small handful to minister to others who may have found themselves with us for whatever reason here this morning. As we are all aware this morning that our regular life has changed significantly due to the coronavirus, which continues to impact not only our lives here in Gympie and those who are a part of Gympie Baptist Church, but indeed the virus has had an impact on our entire world. And it continues to impact the world, be that financially and economically, societally. With our cultural practices, it's affected education and travel and every area that we could possibly think of, not to mention the most obvious being the health of us all and thus our health sector. Given that we live in such a multimedia age, you will be very aware that and possibly even feel overwhelmed with all the information that has been thrown at you on a daily, even hourly by hourly basis. And maybe even this morning you are hesitant to hear more about it. You might even say to other people you feel a bit sick of hearing about it. Well, I and many listening may feel the same way. And I want to assure you that though we aim to be teaching and preaching in light of what's going on around this morning, this is probably going to be the main message that will be directly addressing this head-on in a very direct and deliberate way. And next week we will be returning to our series with Pastor Ben sharing on a conversation or conversations with Jesus. So this morning I aim to cover three areas briefly, and within these I will try to be both biblical and practical. Now, in some ways I have no idea how long this message will be, depending on but in one way, there is an advantage, because if I normally preach too long, people are wanting to get their children and get going and get on with their day. But if you're sitting at home now, you can just push pause and you can come back to it. In fact, it could be someone suggesting I press pause now, but we'll have to wait for that later. So but let me give you the three areas that I want to address this morning, and I hope will be informative and helpful to you as people. Firstly, I want to address the question, what should we communicate as followers of Jesus to our loved ones and our communities, and why? Secondly, I want to address the question, what practical decisions do we need to consider taking, and why? And lastly, what can we pray for and believe God for at this time and moving into the future? Well, I know a couple of people have prayed already, but I would like to pray before I speak this message here. So let us pray. Father, we want to acknowledge that the whole world is in your hands and that you are a great and merciful and loving God. And we know that because you sent Jesus. We know that you sent Jesus to live a righteous life, to die a sacrificial death, and to be raised in glory for all those who would put their trust in him. And Father, at times like these, you draw people to yourself. You draw your own people back to yourself to show how much you love them, to affirm them, to assure them, to comfort them, to give them hope in troubled times. And Father, we pray for all those who may be listening at home, whenever this may be, whenever they turn in and listen to this message, that Father, these words would be a comfort, an encouragement in some direction, that we would be about your business no matter what happens, and that we would do this joyfully knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we commit our time to you. We ask, God, you'd bless this time in a way that would really touch hearts and minds, that you'd feed your people through the preached word. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. So, firstly, let's respond to the question that asks, what should we communicate as followers of Jesus to our loved ones and our communities, and why? It's really a question that hits at the heart of everything we say and do in this current climate. As we have looked around, many of you already would have seen all kinds of responses so far. You may have seen the best of humanity at work, where people have shown acts of kindness played out within the community in which we live. And you may have also seen other behaviours that are not so great, like hoarding products from supermarket items or tempers running hot. You may have even had someone turn on you verbally because they know that you are a Christian and they may have abused you and God for allowing this to happen. I know of such a case. So what should we communicate as followers of Jesus to our loved ones and to our communities? Well, I'm sure you could come up with a lot of really good answers, and there is not just one right answer here as you think about that. But the one I want to give us this morning, the one that I think will be helpful is that our overall speak and behaviour as Jesus followers should be one of confidence in God and love expressed towards others. Confidence in God. The whole Christian faith, my faith, your faith, the first disciples' faith of Jesus 2,000 years ago, was all based upon confidence in God. A confidence that believed that God was lovingly in control. A confidence that God is good. A confidence that God will never, ever leave his people or forsake them. A confidence that God is good to all that he has made. A confidence that God will not snuff out a smoldering wick or break a bruised reed. That's the kind of confidence which is played out in our words and through our behavior and our faith, hope and love as every single follower of Jesus Christ in circumstances like this. That's why I say our confidence in God is to be expressed through love towards others. I think we could and may at times shamefully express other attitudes at times like these. Attitudes we must take control of because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, a sober mind. So friend, if you're spreading fear, worry and doubt in the current situation because you are hearing others spreading fear, worry and doubt, we need to bathe ourselves afresh in the promises of our God. Because our God, the true and only God, is good, is merciful, and is loving. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? It sounds incredibly simple. But it's in times like these that simplicity and clarity is the word for the season. There is something that needs to be spread in this time, and it is that message and that manner to all those we come in contact with. And if you feel that you are weak in that area, then go back to his word and go back to him in prayer so that your own heart may be healed and strengthened and encouraged to actually be that salt and light and hope and wisdom for nations as a child of God. So maybe this morning you're hearing this and you have the ability to pause this message. Maybe do that right now. Maybe go to God right now, pause this message and say, God, forgive me for worrying. Forgive me for doubting. Strengthen me, encourage me, call me and draw me back to yourself that I might be that person in my community, in the relationships that I have, that speaks of confidence in God. Maybe you could do that now. Pause, pray, search your own heart, and then restart the message. So in answer to What should we communicate to our loved ones and our communities and why? It's simply this: a confidence in God and a love expressed towards others. Because friends of Jesus, we are too privileged to panic and too blessed to be miserable and beaten down. So if that's the general spirit in which we as followers of Jesus want to communicate to our loved ones and our communities and for God reasons, then the second question we need to answer and ask is this: what practical responses do we need to consider taking and why? What practical ways are we going to share confidence in God? Well, here I want to begin by pointing us to God's Word. And I want to read to you from Romans 13, verse 1 through 4. You can turn there if you like at home. Take a moment to have your Bibles open and to read along with me. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Verse 2, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instructed, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. That's verse 2. Verse 4, for the one in authority is God's servant for your good. For your good. Secondly, I want to take us to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Paul writes to Timothy, I urge then first of all that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceable and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Well, what do we say about these verses? Pray for the leadership. Pray and obey the leadership that God has sovereignly installed at such a time as this. And for that matter, the governments of the world. This is a world situation where we read in Romans 13:1 to obey those whom God has established. And 1 Timothy 2, to pray for those whom God has established. That will be our first and regular practice of things that we can do. Again, perhaps you want to push the pause button. Perhaps you haven't considered this, or perhaps you know this, but you haven't actually done that. Then I encourage you to pause now and spend a few moments praying for the rulers of the world that God has established. You might not like them. You might not have voted for them. You might actually despise them. But friends, the Word of God encourages us to pray for them. To pray for them. Well, that's the first regular practice thing that we can do. Which brings us to our second practical response, and that is to practice self-care and community hygiene out of love for the community and the loved ones that we love. Now, I want to speak quite practically here, and I'm sure you've been bombarded with what you should do and hygienic practices, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it because it's responsible, and then having said that, we've said that, and we need to hear it over and over again. And this is nothing new for God's people. If we stop and think that practice of hygiene and self-care is something new, it's not. It was God who gave Israel, through Moses, one of the most comprehensive health plans for living in community when he formed the nation of Israel. and gave her instructions through the giving of the law. I'm thinking here of the particularly of the quarantine laws, many of which are contained within the book of Leviticus, chapter 13 through 15. You can read those around leprosy and plagues and other infirmities, or where stipulations for incubation periods contained within the Old Testament and the Word of God for houses and people for the safety of their community. This is nothing new. Wise and sensible practices and loving expression of faith in God. So what has the government said so far here in Australia? Well, I've said lots of things and I can't cover them all, but for example, Prime Minister Scott Morrison, stop hoarding. It's un-Australian. Indeed, you're right, Scott. It's unloving. He said, reduce size of gatherings. Practice good hygiene. Wash your hands regularly. Don't touch your face. Well, that's going to be pretty hard. But if we're touching it less than we were touching it before we heard this, then that's a good thing. No shaking of hands. Keep a 1.5 distance if you're in gatherings. 2 meters, four square meters. If you cough, cough into your elbow or use a tissue and dispose of it straight away. If you're sick, stay at home. Call your doctor. What we need to do here, friends, is to keep up to date. Keep informed through the Australian Government Department of Health. Keep it simple, but keep informed. This runs into my next point of practical responses, which I want to address, greetings, meetings, and the media. Greetings, meetings, and the media. So greetings. We've been advised not to shake hands nor to hug except within family members or at home. Some will have found that hard. I do. I see people and I go to shake their hands. It's like something kicks in. I'm not supposed to do that. Don't get too close in their personal space. That's the advice we've been given on greetings. Part of the advice we've been given on greetings. What about meetings? Well, it's common knowledge that people have been instructed to restrict their gatherings to under 100 people. That's today. It may change tomorrow or the coming weeks. But because we as a church are larger than that, we as leadership made the decision this last Tuesday night not to meet on Sundays. And though there are a number of other things we could have done, like splitting the services or meeting at different times, for now we have opted for the simplest move, and that was to stop meetings altogether. If that changes, we will inform you, and we are praying and thinking through better ways. But there is so much change. Every time you hear a news report, it sounds like there's new information coming out. On a practical note, one reason why we did this was that we could spend time now by stopping the Sunday, organizing folks in various roles and catering for things moving ahead so that they won't, things that we can put in place that would not change. So if we've decided to stop those. So that's meetings in brief. So we've done greetings, meetings, and now just a quick word on the media. I want to say one thing about the media. Well, two things really. Firstly, it's great that we live in a time where information is readily available. But it can also become unhelpful if we are constantly feeding our minds with what is being presented through the media. So take care of yourselves, not to be drawn into the media, making the media or allowing the media to become a dominant voice in your life, as there is much more going on than is currently presented on and through the media. Now that sounds like common sense, and most people go, yeah, we know that, but we need to remind ourselves so that it does become common practice. It's so easy to be drawn in. It's almost like it draws you in. I wonder what's new. I wonder what they're saying. I wonder what's going on in the world. And it's great to be informed. But while we've been sucking and receiving all this information, it does affect our outlook. And there's other things that lose our attention when we're focusing on that. So take care of yourself, not to be drawn in where the media becomes the dominant voice in your life. So please listen to the media, particularly what the government advises on, but protect yourself, protect your children to an overexposure to the reporting on the coronavirus and related issues. Now, what else do we want to say? I want to speak specifically now to groups of people whom we want to especially be caring for in practical ways at this time, who are most vulnerable. Firstly, I'm thinking here about the elderly. What is our response to be towards the elderly? And it's very much the same response which is towards the sick. I heard a report came out, or an announcement came out yesterday, that in New Zealand has been told that those over 70 should stay at home and self-isolate. And I was thinking, because a lot of my family are back home, I know a lot of 70-year-olds back in New Zealand who would not like to be called elderly. They would resist that, and many of them are fit and healthier than many middle-aged and younger people, and I understand that. But what could be something that happens here in Australia, and we're just all waiting to hear what will happen next. So in short, if you all have we sent out this week a list of leaders to this particular church, of deacons and elders and Christian brothers and sisters in Christ that you can call on if you are elderly, and we will be doing our best to make contact with you. But if you're hearing this and you're in fellowship with someone who's elderly, please make the effort to speak with them or to encourage them, to call them up and to ask how they're going, and to pray with people over the phone, just a short prayer to care and look out for the elderly. And for the elderly, please don't isolate yourself any further, but make use of those names and people on those lists. Let us become a really sticky church. A sticky church. When I was thinking about a sticky church, I read a book years ago by Larry Osborne. He talked about the sticky church. And I couldn't help but think of a lolly wrapper at Christmas time, particularly with those really sticky lollies, and you pop them in your mouth and you get those little cellophane sort of wrappers and they stick to your hand and you pull it off and it's really sticky. We want to be like that, that even though people might try and get rid of us because for whatever reason, they just can't, because we're sticking together and we're constantly there to encourage people. You get the picture. So the elderly. Next, I'm thinking about those who are already sick. Those, not only those who may become sick through the virus or any other seasonal sickness or illness that just happens in the course of life. What is our response to be? Well, if you have your Bibles with me, or if you're there, I'd like to read a few verses out of the book of James. James chapter 5. And although it is true that we wouldn't want to take and apply everything in this verse literally at this time because of other health concerns, I do want to read it to you and draw some general principles from it. So James chapter 5, verse 13. James writes, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up." Now, like I said, the general rule here is if you are sick, then pray. Pray. And secondly, let the elders know. Call them. Call them on the phone. Call them. And we can pray for you. We may be not able to come and see you, or we may be able to if that's what you want, if you'd like that, but we need to use wisdom at this time. The teaching here is reach up to God through prayer and reach out to those who are around you and looking out for you so that we can pray for you and so we can provide anything else that would be of help to you. And not just the elders, but any other brother and sister in Christ. So I'm thinking of other groups of people. We've spoken about the elderly, we've spoken about the sick, but I'm also thinking about the alone, those of any age or stage who are and live alone. There are people of all ages and for all kinds of reasons living alone who are part of this fellowship. If that's you, we love you. And we know that further isolation is not always the best thing for you. So please, if you are alone, please take up the opportunity to stay connected with us, with those who you have regular fellowship with. And for those of us who know people who live alone, where and when you can give help, call or text and see how they're going. Pray with them over the phone, like I said just a few minutes ago. Ask them to pray for you if you can't get in touch in person. Look out for those who are alone. Stop right now. Think of those who are single, those who have been widowed, those who live alone, and pray for them. Jot down their name right now and follow that up in God's timing. I'm also thinking about the young, practically helping the young at this time. Now, a lot could be said in this space, but I'm thinking particularly of those who live with young children, parents of young children. I remember two situations in the past that affected our children. Now, we have quite a few children, and what I've found is that social situations affect children differently at different ages. Some children are so young that it doesn't seem to affect them. Some are in that stage where they are like just sponges and it really does affect them. And then there's some slightly older who have the ability to kind of read and process information. So if you've had children before, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But there are two situations that have happened in recent history that have really affected our children, and it still comes out in conversations that we have with them today. I am speaking of firstly, the terror attacks on the Twin Towers in the US back in September 11th, 2001. And the other was the tsunami that hit back in 2004, which affected many parts of Indonesia. Both of those issues were all over the TV, and we had family, friends, and friends caught up in both of those events, very much around those events, and those are separate stories in themselves. But all of the social chatter that was going on around that time and the constant media exposure had an effect on a couple of our children on those events, and still does today. So please, do talk about the current situation, but be careful not to expose your children to too much. And be careful with them knowing they don't have the filters. Be careful to know that they don't have the filters to deal with it. And though they seem to think that they're doing okay, we cannot assume that. We need to protect them. One way is to limit what they see on TV. Maybe not have it playing all the time. There's so much is on there that we can become immune to it. Also, I would like to encourage you to keep up your family prayers together as a family. Perhaps you aren't in the habit of doing that. Perhaps this is a new season where you can be more deliberate in that way. And devotions as well. Read the Bible together. Pray and talk about the words of Jesus. That's what we're doing at our house. We've been doing it this year, just reading a portion of the gospel. Not a huge amount. We'd rather read a portion of an event that people are engaging with Jesus, and we talk about it. We ask questions. It's a wonderful time, and then we pray about it. Let them talk. Let the children talk. Direct their thinking and their prayers and their hope towards Jesus and towards families and friends. Draw them in. Listen to the children. Make more time for them. Think about them. I encourage you not to rush into settling them at night, but ask God for wisdom. Just an arrow prayer. God, give me wisdom as I speak to these little ones now. Pause yourself from the things that you have to do next and give yourself to your children. Comfort them. Comfort, comfort my people, says God to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 40. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Maybe something else you'd like to make use of this time, although we're not in lockdown, perhaps you could make use of the Gospel Project. There's video clips on YouTube which are very clear, very age-appropriate for young children, very informative and gospel-centered. Use those, perhaps. This is do something new. When things are taken back, or when we feel like we're losing something in our lives, such as fellowship or the freedoms, replace that with something which is positive and good. So they realize that there are good things happening now to build up their heart and their faith in the Lord Jesus. We can talk about these things, but I want you to pray about that. I want you to think about that and process that and see what it is that you might be able to do to encourage your family and your children. Look after the young. And finally, I'm also thinking about you. Whether or not you fall into any of these groups, I want to say, generally speaking, to you all, to love one another, to draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Love your neighbor. Maybe let them know that you're right next door if they need anything. What a wonderful opportunity for the people of God to say, I'm going to go and see my neighbors. I can't remember. I might know their names. I might never have spoken to them. But I'm going to go and knock on the door, and I'm going to stand back a little bit. I just want to say, look, we're your neighbors, and we're here. If there's anything we can do, food, or if we can share our items, if we're going to be praying for you and we can look out for you, we're here. We're in this together as a community. What a wonderful opportunity. What an open door God has given us as His people. Friends, take it. Take it. Redeem it. And live it. I know for some of you that's going to be hard. But ask God to give you the strength and wisdom that you might be a glory to His name. To us all, I say, stay connected to God. To those in the fellowship, don't stop communicating with each other, building each other up in love. The last question I want to address is this. What can we believe God for at this time and moving into the future? What can we believe God for at this time and moving into the future? Well, firstly, we can believe God that He will use this situation for His glory and for people's good, for all people's good. That means we can believe that God will use the situation to bring people to trust in Him. People who once did not trust in Him or know Him. We can believe that God will show the communities that we live in that we who call ourselves Christ followers do really love each other and do really love those that do not know Jesus by the ways that we're seeking to care for them, for those who don't call themselves Christians. We can believe that God has allowed this to happen so as to move us towards loving others, even in a time when it seems like isolation and distancing is the catch cry. Here, friends, lies a great irony. And there are great ironies. And if you want to know the gospel of ironies, read the Gospel of Luke. It's the upside down gospel. But herein lies an irony. That though people believe, we can believe that God, through isolation and distancing, God is actually bringing people closer to Him and closer to each other. Don't miss out on that. We can believe that God is bringing us all through this together, and that this is a season that will pass, and that God will in His time bring us all through it. The seasons are in God's hands. I know this because of His word and His Son. Have another listen to these words before we finish and pray. I want to read to you from Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, just verse 10. The Word of God says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And those familiar words that we find by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, I want to read those to you this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, Paul says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am," and here's that word again, friends, convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want to hear, at least in my mind, that as you hear these words, there is this echo of amen. Wherever you be in your car or your home, an echo of amen. I believe it. I hear you, God. Dear brothers and sisters, God is doing something in our day which will ultimately bring him glory. There is no doubt of that. And it will also result in us becoming more trusting and more loving and more longing for his will and his reign. And friends, this can only be a good thing. Well, with some of these things in our minds now, I want us to pray then as we bring our time together to a close. As I pray, please unite with me in your spirit and join with me with these words as we bring these concerns before our gracious God and Father. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus and the salvation and hope we have in him, for showing your love towards the world by sending your Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Father, we know that all events in history are under your loving, sovereign rule and control, as are all peoples. And so we pray and ask for wisdom for the leaders of the nations of this world. We ask for the doctors and medical professionals to find a cure and a vaccine for this virus that is a plague upon us. We thank you for that when we come to ask you for these things, we know that this pleases you and that you are the only one who can bring about real change in answer to these prayers. We especially pray for the elderly, Father, the sick, the alone, the young as well, as well as those who are fearful or anxious, and particularly those that don't know or have faith in Jesus and all that he really is. We pray, Father, that you would be merciful to all, for that is the distinguishing characteristic of your nature, You are a merciful God, slow to anger and rich, rich in love. Father, we also want to pray for ourselves, for us who are relatively well at this point, who have a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to grow in our confidence in you, not in a cheap or shallow way, but in a deep and personal way that spills out of us with words and actions done in love, both towards those who are in our close families and towards those in our community. Father, thank you for the people that you've placed around us at this time, for us to help them and for them to help us. Father, may we see and may we believe and live out our faith in Jesus in new ways that bring you glory and everyone around us hope, the kind of hope that lasts for all eternity, both in this life and in the life to come. Father, because we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake and for your honor and glory. Amen. Well, God bless you all. I pray that you'd be encouraged in spirit and that you'd love and care for one another in Jesus' name. And if we don't see you during the week, we look forward to fellowshipping via social media through our link. Please go to our Facebook page. Please go to our website and we will continue to be in contact with you. God bless and grace to you all. Amen.